Oh, ooh, a little short.
Yep, it's in the water.
Oh, wait a minute. It bounced off a rock.
A rock? Magical things happen at the Matt Blair closest to the hole shootout, especially with a little help from Valvoline Rapid Oil Change.
Oh, that's it. It's in the woods.
Every oil change, we're giving away a certificate good for an extra shot and a bucket of practice balls to improve your chances of winning.
Look, it's out of the woods.
Yeah. No, it's in the woods.
You could win a Ford GT Mustang convertible, a trip to Hawaii, or other valuable prizes.
Is that a crow with your ball in its mouth? Yes.
But here's the real magic. All proceeds go to Home Base, helping at-risk young men learn the skills they need for a productive life.
Look, the crow's flying toward the green.
Matt Blair's closest to the whole shootout from Valvoline Rapid Oil Change. What could be more magical?
He's dropping it in the hole! You win!
Hi, I'm Matt Blair. Enter my closest to the hole shootout at River Oaks, Baker National, Edinburgh, USA, Chuen Golf Center, or Highland Park. Details at Valvoline Rapid Oil Change.
If you were born in a small town, the kind of town where people help each other build houses and raise kids, then getting advice on any project wouldn't be unusual. Welcome to the 90s and your local True Value, where good advice and neighborly help is all part of the picture, even help with your budget. This week, you'll find the gas-powered Home Light String Trimmer for only $79.99 and Spectracide Triple Fogger on sale for only $5.99. True Value. Help is just around the corner.
Jason Lewis on the ever-growing list of government subsidies.
Why is it that when somebody mentions, okay, maybe we ought to relinquish or rein in farm programs or rein in welfare or rein in all sorts of things, why is it the first defense of the people on the left and the pro-government types is always, well, maybe you've got a good point, or maybe those programs are good. It's never that. It is, well, so you're getting a subsidy, as though that's supposed to convince anybody. I mean, two wrongs don't make a right.
The Jason Lewis Show, weeknights 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 1500 KSTP.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. 626. We got a couple of callers here, so we'll open up the lines before the news. And again, I want to remind everybody, you go out to that state fair. Take the time out if you got kids, if you're adults or whatever, and go visit Monty and his reptiles, because, like I said, they're right inside the main gate. You hang a right to the 4-H building right there. And heck, when you're done with Monty, you can go two doors over and you can talk war stories with the Weekend Warriors.
Right.
Because they're always
the guard
right
up there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the guards.
National Guard. National Guard.
The guard will tell you about those battles they fought in that topless bar up there at Ripley. Some of those vicious.
The battle to the front of the line, huh?
Yeah, some of those vicious front wars that took line. Place up there. Anyway, Marie on a car phone, line one. Marie, good morning. You're on with Jesse the Body.
Good morning, Jesse. I had a question for Monty about bull snakes.
Right.
When I lived out in the country, they weren't very nice at all. I mean, they get very, very big and they bite.
Well, see, you got to realize that, you know, my reptiles have been conditioned to be in front of the public, and whenever I give a lecture, I make sure the kids are aware of this. We should leave snakes alone in the wild because they have this built-in feeling that human beings aren't going to be very good to them. When you look at the way people treat snakes, I mean, we have rattlesnake rounds up where we slaughter them by tens of thousands. And they also, in the real world, have to treat any intruder with a lot of... But most of their behavior is truly to buffalo you. You know, they'll pretend they're a rattlesnake. They'll rattle their tail against a leaf or something, and they'll butt you and that. But even if a bull snake bit you, you'd probably have some puncture in the skin, but it certainly wouldn't be a vicious wound. So, I mean, they're there. If you see one... Just give it some space, and that it's just doing its job.
Oh, know. Yeah. I don't mind snakes at all. I like snakes because they keep bugs and things away.
Right. Well, the snakes that live here in Minnesota, especially the bull snake, he is designed. He is earless, legless. His eyelids are covered with caps. He is designed to go after the rodent. And any creature that relieves rodents from the farmer's field or your garden or the backyard, that leaves the poison on the shelf. And environmentally speaking... You know, we as people are not very responsible in using poisons or even deciding to use them because a lot of us don't read the labels, et cetera. So if you got a snake cruising on your property taking care of rodents, you're way ahead of the game.
Yeah. Well, how big do they get?
They get about 7-8 feet. I got one out at the fair that I've raised from a baby, so he's probably a little bit bigger and a little bit plumper than you'd normally see one because of his the way I keep him. But he's probably 8 feet long almost and about as big around as a banana. But they can get big. But the ones you're going to see are going to be 3 to 4 footers because the real big ones are well established in probably some kind of an eco niche where people aren't going to see them and aren't going to discover them and aren't going to eliminate them. So you don't get big being no fool. You know, you got to be smart with it.
See? See? Now you know why I'm 6'4", 250. Did you hear that, Maria? You don't get big being no fool.
You don't get old being no fool.
Somebody
either.
Needs to tell Jason Lewis and that bozo that called him last night that.
Thanks, Jesse.
Okay, Marie.
Bye now.
Bye. All right, we'll take Glenn from Brooklyn Park real quick, and then we'll be back with the news here. Glenn on line two. Glenn, good morning. You're on KSTP Talk.
Morning, Jesse.
Morning.
I would like to ask Monty if he ever heard of Mr. Charles Baxter. He was a science teacher in the St. Paul Park area. They called him the snake teacher.
I have heard people refer to him. Personally, I don't know him.
Well, that happens to be my son-in-law.
I see.
And he had, I was just wondering, whatever happened to the big boy he has, his name was Santana.
Uh-huh.
He was quite huge.
Uh-huh.
I mean huge, huge. But well, he had everything from the blue racers and mm-hmm. old snakes.
You know, in my travels, I have, you know, entered many schools. And whenever a teacher takes the time to say have a group of reptiles in a classroom and does it right, this is an instant learning catalyst for the kids to turn an extra page in a book or pull a book off. And when I go to a school, I promote reading as the most important tool to an education. So I think, you know, teachers that take the time to go to extra step to keep something in the classroom are making a positive you know, a positive thing, even more positive, by having that available for the kids to learn. So I take my hat off to that gentleman.
Yeah, well, he had a room there. It was this wire glass. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he had to keep live food in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were certain parents put on the pressure to the point where he says it was just too much hassle.
Yeah.
Fight.
I get around all this, you know, having live mice and rats around by, you know, basically feeding everything I own frozen stuff out of the freezer. And,
yeah.
And when I go to feed my alligator in public, it's always a turkey drumstick or a chicken leg. It's not some baby rabbit or something that has been used in a cosmetic research and has been offed. Because then somebody would say, well, that poor Easter bunny. And, hey, you know, I once had a rabbit that came home with me with the intent of feeding it to a snake, and it had babies that night before I got it fed off. And now I ran around with a little bottle, and I tried to save all these baby rabbits. Well, the rabbit wound up living with me for 11 years. It was a pet. It was house trained and everything. So I love rabbits, and I don't want to see my snakes kill them. But there is some issues in front of the public. You know, somebody will find a cause about everything, you know. The Wienermobile is a bad deal.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest that.
You're going to have to get a 4-point deuce rocket launcher in there and blow that up.
Well, thanks, Jesse.
Okay,
you
Glenn.
Have a good time out there at the fair.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
All right, and we'll get Jennifer back in here if she dares. I notice she's not showing up. Does she want to pass on the news till 7, Rookie? You're the producer here.
No, I think she just wants to make sure Monty's got a cap on every jar that he's got over there. To make sure everything's all set.
Monty's giving you and I T-shirts here now, Rook. I got a double XL here with a big old gator. Here,
these are game jerseys.
Her news
is get on in here.
Her news is probably printing out right now.
Her news is printing out right now.
These are game jerseys, gentlemen. I want you to wear them proudly.
That's
the
right.
The gator. Okay, we got the gator on
and
it.
And we got Monty's Traveling Reptile
Monty's
Show on the
traveling
back.
Traveling Reptile Show.
There we go.
Now, say, tell me about iguanas. Having iguanas, I know a guy that does. I know a couple of people that have iguanas.
Mm-hmm.
Are they okay? They're okay to have in
the here's the deal.
City?
An iguana. Well, I think you can have an iguana, you bet.
Just be prepared to have that wrestling match every morning with them.
Yeah. You can have an iguana, but, you know, most people that get iguanas get baby iguanas, and those guys are fragile. And when Mom brought us home from the hospital, she didn't put clothes on us and send us to work, send us out in the yard. So the biggest mistake people make is buying the baby iguana, not having a proper place to keep it, and then they hand it around to their friends like it's some kind of an ornament. If you get a baby iguana, first you buy a book that qualifies you to make the good decision to get it and then have the environment ready, and then you leave it alone until it starts starts to develop a personality and physically develops to where it can, you know, get stronger. Mm-hmm. And when it starts coming to you, that's when you start taking it out and showing it to people. At first, you got to leave it alone.
Good for bugs?
You know it's ready.
No, no, they're vegetation eaters.
Oh. Yeah, they eat just
vegetables. Well, why is that a myth? What is the lizard? That, a lizard is good for
the iguanas would probably help this girl with sore. You know, they're vegetation eaters, so they wouldn't, you know, wouldn't be meat eaters. They probably want to throw some ketchup on the Wienermobile.
What, are you turning up my mic, Jennifer?
No,
you think I can't hear well enough or what?
I'm trying to turn up mine.
She's over here.
I can't hear
here. Which one of these? I know mine's
she should be in the second
here. Middle. I'm good now.
All right, there we go. There we go.
So can I ask you this again now, Monty? You're doing this for cause, right? For a purpose, not because you're wanting a pet.
No, it's a business.
Well, listen, yeah, you know, I mean, I haven't had a job in 25 years, so I've made my living doing this, and it's allowed me to have these wonderful creatures around me. Just, you know, I really like reptiles.
Do you
and
have them in your home?
Oh, yeah, I have them in my home. You bet they live with me.
Monty, are you married?
No.
We know why, don't we?
Listen, I've been married, and there's several reasons why I'm not married, and the reptiles are not one of them. So, I mean, we could do another show on why I'm not married.
Are you in denial?
Because, well, no. If you get married, you qualify to get divorced. So if you don't get married, you don't qualify to get divorced.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been through a divorce, you'll find out that the courts are not fair to the male gender. They still are not. And, you know, when it comes time to cut the marbles, I'm getting first count. So by avoiding marriage, I do not put myself in that situation. I have a girlfriend that is pretty cool, a feminist that believes that she should be able to get any job she wants, and she's got a good one, but she doesn't think that she should take the dress off either. You know?
Do you live together?
Well, she lives up in Canada, so it's a kind of a, you know, my entire last 25 years of my life has been a long distance type deal where you're traveling here, you're traveling there. But I'm also the type of guy that doesn't do well in one place for a real long time. So I yearn to get home after I'm on the road. And then after I'm on the road, I charge the batteries and I yearn to get back out.
Back out
so
to the road.
It's a catch 22.
How many of these things do you have in your home, though?
About 70.
70 in your home.
Well, I have my home set up in environments that take care of them. They all have a secure place to go. My home, Jennifer,
it's not like mine. That's
is
for
much
sure.
cleaner. Is much cleaner than most homes that I visit, because reptiles are clean, and I maintain excellent standards. You know, so I can't. If I just lived by myself, my house would be clean. And because I live with 70 of my friends, it's got to be even cleaner.
Okay, so you have, how many of those are snakes versus, the turtle's kind of cute.
Yeah, I probably have anywhere during the course of a year between 70 and 100 creatures living with me. A lot of them are tiny and live in a plastic sweater box. They come out in the yard, you know.
Ed lives
where he wants to.
Yeah.
Do you sleep and then, which one is Ed? Is he there?
No, Ed's out at the fair. You got to go see him.
Ed's bigger than you are.
Ed's a big old 50-year-old snapping turtle that kind of just,
crusty.
Nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah, big old
snapping
turtle.
See, I think my
turtle.
Daughter would like to see
makes this. Saddam look like a wimp.
Yeah.
okay, so you're sleeping. You're laying in bed and... You know, let me give you an example. For me, sometimes in the morning, my cat comes in, feed me. Do you have like a snake crawl up your side?
No, the snakes would all be in environments, but I'll tell you what's under my bed. A 5-foot black and white tegu sleeps in a cardboard
box. What's a tegu?
A tegu is like a monitor lizard from South America.
Okay.
And I have this 26-year-old rhino iguana that would like to headbutt me, you know. So they're under the bed. So when the sun comes up in California, in the wintertime, it's usually about 6:30 or 7. The first awareness that I have of my friends being with me is I can hear Tebow nosing on the slider. He'd like to, if it's sunny, he'd like to have that slider opened up so he can go out. The other lizard will not get out of his box in the wintertime unless I want him to, if I ask him to. He's going to go in there and just stay there. He doesn't make any mess. He doesn't lose any weight. He doesn't change. He's in the refrigerator. This little tortoise goes in my closet from November to April, and I don't see him. I don't hear him. He doesn't change. You can't smell him. He's in a box of shredded newspaper.
How does he eat? What does he eat?
Well, he doesn't eat at all. Those tortoises in the wintertime dig a 20-foot tunnel into the ground, bury themselves alive out in the desert, and just say to hell with it. That's why reptiles are still here, is they have the ability to go away and endure the harsh change of climates or whatever. That's what killed the dinosaurs, is the Earth climate changed rather quickly.
Right.
That's what they say. And I think the reptiles, they were here 50 million years before dinosaurs. They just tucked it in and said, hey, we'll catch you later. You know, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to animate myself in the ground, in the mud, somewhere, and wait for this to get better. So, you know, they're a successful form of life. Regardless of your personal feelings of reptiles, you got to love their success ratio.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, they make us look like short-timers.
All right. Well, Jennifer, that's so much for your news. You came in here and talked reptiles. Monty, we want to thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'll see you out at the fair,
as
I always do with my kids. We'll let Monty get out of here because he's going to get back out to the fair with his 70-odd reptiles. And we'll take a break and then come back with Rush Limbaugh and more of the Jesse the Body program. So in the interim, stay with us.
When you go to the State Fair, plan on visiting the KSTP Talk Shop right behind our State Fair studio. We're selling KSTP hats and T-shirts and sweatshirts from your favorite KSTP shows, including Rush Limbaugh. Also, the best of Don Vogel's CDs are available, with those proceeds being donated to Don's favorite charities. Come watch your favorite personalities at the fair and buy something, will ya?
Juicy sirloin steaks coming off a glowing grill. Luscious burgers with melted cheese and bakery fresh buns. Zesty beef fajitas hot and hearty in a sizzling skillet. Of all the words you could use to describe the dinners that satisfy more Americans than any other, one word says it all. Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Brought to you by beef and dairy producers through the Minnesota Beef Council.
Before summer ends and outdoor barbecues are just a pleasant memory, the Minneapolis Farmers Market and the Minnesota Beef Council want to offer you the opportunity to taste some delicious beef and some fresh, tasty produce free. And all you have to do is make a phone call. Just call CityLine at 645-6060 and enter the code GOOD. That's 4663, now through August 31st. 20 lucky people will win a gift certificate redeemable for $25 in Minneapolis Farmers Market produce and $25 in beef from the Minnesota Beef Council. Taste the freshness. Minneapolis Farmers Market and Minnesota Beef. It's what's for dinner.
641 AM, 1500 KSTP, the talk station. Mr. Rush Limbaugh.
Some tragic news, you people. 4 million American children go to bed hungry. This according to the Food Research and Action Center, or FRAC, a liberal advocacy group based in Washington. They claim that these starving kids skip meals or eat small portions because their parents run out of food stamps to buy groceries. Worse, according to FRAC, another 9.6 million kids are at risk of hunger, whatever that means. I guess that means they're almost hungry. Now, this study is based on FRAC's interviews with 5,000 low-income households. 1 in 12 households told the group that, yeah, their kids are hungry at some point during the year. The study said this poor nutrition has a negative impact on kids' health and ability to learn. So the group FRAC wants you to believe that millions upon millions of American kids are starving, sick, and on the verge of failing school. But I have a question here. How is it that 11 out of 12 poor households, vast majority of them, manage to feed their kids if the situation is so horrible? And if almost a third of American children are hungry or at risk of hunger, doesn't that mean that federal food programs are failing miserably? Now, the president of FRAC, Robert Fersh, concluded that widespread hunger among children across the country will likely be worsened by proposals currently pending in Congress. So there you have the real upshot of this. Study's coming out now because it's budget time in Washington. Brace yourselves, folks. America is starving. You'll learn soon. Hi, this is Rush Limbaugh inviting you to join me today at 11 o'clock. On AM 1500 KSTP.
Ever wonder what happens to kid actors?
I was a child actor. Now, I have a movie store. A lot of screenwriters use the store for research. I have a copy service because they have scripts. They have to have a good copy.
Nice supporting role.
I wanted a good copier. I thought Xerox would be very expensive. I called Xerox. They said less than $100 a month. And I was shocked.
At $99 a month, a Xerox copier can play a big role in your business.
Xerox is a happy ending.
To learn more, call 1-800-ASK-XEROX. The document company, Xerox.
Choosing the right lenses can be confusing.
LensCrafters optician, Gus Grossman.
At LensCrafters, we have these lenses called featherweights. They're made of a thin, lightweight material, but they're also tough. No lens is shatterproof, but LensCrafters featherweights are 10 times more shatter resistant than other types of lenses, so my customers' eyes are better protected. Only LensCrafters has featherweights, and we can make them in about an hour. People choose a lightweight lens for comfort, but when they're safer, I sleep better.
LensCrafters, helping people see better, 1 hour at a time.
All right, everyone. Jesse, the Body Ventura here for Routes and Motors. Of course, Routes and Motors is located right on Highway 36 in one of the most beautiful cities in the whole state of Minnesota. And I'm, of course, speaking of Stillwater, Minnesota, right out Highway 36, about 10, 15, 20-minute drive from pretty much anywhere in the metro area. And the phone number at Routes and Motors, 430-2900, 430-2900. Routes and Motors, the home of four GM franchises in one location. And if you're, I'll tell you what would work good for you. If you're like Monty and you got, say, 7,